From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio this morning. Ole Miss beats Alabama 78-66 last night at the Pavilion, staying undefeated at home in SEC play, evening up its SEC record. A big one on Saturday as the Big 12 SEC Challenge. The Rebels headed to Austin to face Texas and a very formidable shot blocker on that Longhorns roster. That and more on today's show. Neil, I think he has some takes, so we'll get going here in a second on the show. Also today, Chris Stewart joining us. He is a member of the Alabama Radio Network. Football, basketball, baseball, obviously a lot of basketball talk as he was in Oxford last night for Rebels and Tides. We'll talk to him in a little bit. You've had him on the show before. You are familiar with Chris. Really, really, really nice guy. We'll talk to him again soon. Podcast brought to you in part by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. We've been telling you about Hometown Sessions with Jamie Lynn Spears, February 3rd in Macomb. Remember, you can get those tickets at eventbrite.com. Also, February 24th, the FCA Breakfast on campus at Ole Miss. Evan Ingram is your guest speaker. You can attend that as well. Should be a good time again. Craddock Oil, the presenting sponsor of that annually. I told Neil a second ago, Ben had a seat next to Morgan Freeman last night. Looked like he was getting blown off the pictures, so I've got to make fun of him here in a little bit. But all in all, pretty good night at the Pavilion for Ole Miss supporters, Neil. And again, before we do that, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call that number, ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes. It sounds simple because it is. And then you get to decide whether you want to make it complicated or not. If you want to make it complicated, you can. It's your prerogative. Get your quote and shop it around with as many other dealerships as you would like. Again, it's your right. Bully for you. Or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of the podcast, and that is take the hassle out of the car buying experience. It's very simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. You get a great Ford product, great service after the sale, and an easy car buying experience from Clark Ford and Amory. We'll make it even better. Tell Corey that you heard about it on the podcast. You can mention this one. You can mention the Soft Verbal podcast presented by Billy's Pecans, which Russell Johnson and I will be taping this afternoon. Or you can mention the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden, which I plan on taping tomorrow. You can mention any of those, and it's $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford in Amory. Again, the number 662-257-1900.
So, Neil, we will open with some basketball. I got some other stupid things to talk about. We'll do that later. We have time.
Okay.
Alabama had a hell of a run there at one point.
18-0.
Yeah, pretty good run.
That's a hell of a run.
It is.
That is very astute.
It was. how's the play, Mrs. Lincoln? Other than that 18-0 run, Ole Miss kind of had its way a lot with the Tide last night, at least from my uneducated view. For the majority of the game, they kind of had the flow you would like offensively and defensively from the way this roster is built.
They shot 50% from the floor.
Well, that makes a lot of things have flow.
38.1% from three. 75% from the line. They won the turnover battle.
Yeah.
By one. Alabama was a pretty disciplined team, too. Only lost the rebound battle by one, so that's a wash. Blocked four shots. Had five steals, had 13 assists on, 13 assists on 26 made field goals. Pretty good. Played a nice game against a really talented Alabama team that going into last night was in the tournament field. I could sit here and do hot takes for people. I don't really have hot takes. But you overhear conversations and you talk to people who are knowledgeable, and there is this almost bloodlust from some people And I get it. It's the program you think is stale. You wish they had won some early games. There's no question that early in the season, this team either didn't gel, underachieved, didn't catch breaks, wasn't good defensively. Guys that they were counting on didn't produce. Those are all true facts. No way around them. However, I think if you're going to do that, you then have to turn around and say, they've now, that was another top 50 RPI win last night. People say RPI discussions are ridiculous when you're 11-9, and it's not a completely false statement. That 18-0 run felt like, ooh, the air's coming out of this balloon and it's about to pop, and this is going to be ugly. And it wasn't. Instead, they were resilient. And it's not. That's to their credit. A week ago, they go to Texas A&M and literally had the game won when the ball bounces out. And then they go to Arkansas and play an Arkansas team that was back against the wall, desperately needing a win, and played a great offensive game. And a team with a little lesser emotional and mental fortitude would have gotten beat by 20 at Bud Walton. If you've never been to Bud Walton on a Saturday, if you've never been to Bud Walton on a Saturday, shut up. It gets loud, it gets crazy, and you can get run the hell out of that building. I covered an Auburn team once that was a number one overall seed that went to Arkansas on a Saturday and got its ass kicked. And I do mean run the hell out of that building. They had lost once before. In fact, that was all they lost until they got to the SEC tournament. My point is that place can get rowdy. And Ole Miss stayed in that game. Didn't win it. And there are no moral victories. And I wrote this last night. There are no moral victories. This team erased the ability to get moral victories when it lost at home to South Dakota State, when it lost at home to Illinois State, when it blew a double-digit lead at home against Virginia Tech. Moral victories went off the menu. They're not available anymore. You can't order them. And at some point, if this team's going to change its narrative, it's got to go win on the road multiple times. But you then have to turn around and give this team last night credit. Colin Sexton played last night. Pretty good player. He was rusty. Sexton was, I need my readers, he was 2-for-13 from the floor. That's indicative of rust. Played 20 minutes, had 2 assists, 7 points. It was also indicative of Ole Miss, pretty good guards. They're playing much better defensively as guards, and they harassed him. They bothered him. He was frustrated. You could see it. I thought they played a good game. I thought they played a really good game against Key. I thought they played a really good game against Petty, another talented freshman. It was a pretty strong effort on their part. And so you hear people saying, it's just time for change. My argument is, change for change's sake is a bad idea. Change because, well, we just need to change is a bad idea. Change because you've got something different in mind or you're going to take a different step as a program, well, that's a conversation to have. But the whole, well, we just need to make a change is a recipe, frankly, for taking a giant step backward.
We had a conversation, last summer, early fall, about because of all the things in the offseason, whatever the truth exactly is, it created a narrative, it created a tension around the program.
Yep.
And we said there's going to be days when that's going to become the prevailing conversation when it probably shouldn't be. Today is that day, this week is that week, this month is that month, because in a program that is just stable, basketball over the last few years, in between the tournament years, years where it's just, hey, this is our guys, let's get better, let's see what we are at the end of the season, you'd look at this in some different scopes. She'd be really pissed off about those overtime losses at home. I mean, because they probably are going to be the hatchet in the back at the end of the season from this team standpoint.
It certainly appears so, yeah.
you go, God dang, about, you know, A&M and this and that and yep. all these games. But then you go, hey, you're holding serve at home, which in this league, paramount. Have to do it.
Have to do it. Yeah.
You're doing enough. Now you got to go win some road games, all that. I get it. Okay.
Right, sure.
But that is not coming to the forefront of conversations, even with reasonable fans, not just crazy message boarders. No offense to you guys. Love you. Because here's the deal. And here's that I don't know the answer to, and you don't know the answer to, and I don't know that Ross Bjork and Jeffrey Vitter and all those people know the answer to. The bar moves so much. I don't know what the bar is. I don't even know what the thing is that has to be accomplished to keep Andy Kennedy, to fire Andy Kennedy, to make it in the administration's minds a successful season, an unsuccessful season. I have no idea. I don't know that anybody knows. And with it being like that,
you don't think they know? That's interesting. You're probably right.
But here's why. Because it's so complicated from the standpoint of you can't just know in a vacuum. It can't be no matter what you're talking about. No matter what, Andy Kennedy is not our coach next year if he does not make the NCAA tournament. Bar none, period, done.
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing that, you're an idiot.
That's what I'm saying. Right, so, because here's what you don't know. Who can I get?
Yes.
What are they going to do? What's my booster system? Let's be real today.
Thank you.
What is my booster system? Am I getting better at that? Am I actually investing in that when the SEC in totality has never invested more in that than right
no
now?
No question about it.
Mike Slive did the whole, hey, let's schedule better. This is what's doing it. That schedule thing might help, but this is what's doing it. So
players are better.
Yeah, you play all the good teams and lose, you still just lose games. Now the SEC's winning a lot of games. So,
4 years ago, Colin Sexton, is if he's in the SEC, it's at Kentucky.
Yeah, and maybe
and
Florida.
And maybe. And probably at Duke, Kansas, NC, those places.
So, point being, you and I talked about it a minute ago. Look, should Ole Miss be competitive with salaries? Sure, yeah, absolutely. But that's not when you're losing games today.
No.
That has no bearing on Ole Miss's place in the SEC from a standing standpoint. It
no.
doesn't.
No.
It's talent. It's recruiting. Yes. It's those things. Also, Ole Miss is in the middle of an NCAA not investigation, but situation at this point, that they still do not know how much money they're losing. They lost $8 or $9 million with bowl revenue from 2017.
And barring a successful appeal, they're going to lose that again.
They are, yes. Now they saved the Hugh Freeze money, but they still had losing the 16 off the bowl.
Still a major budget hit.
A little bit. Point being, there is not some rainy day fund over here with $78 million in it that you just go pull from and whatever. I mean, Ole Miss makes more money than ever, $112, $115 million budget.
Sure.
They also spend more money than ever. There's a line over here on the left that's expenditures, that's not just bringing it in and whatever. So point being, you got to pay Andy Kennedy if you fire him $4 million, if give or take.
Yeah, I think it's a little more than that.
Yeah,
but
whatever.
Yes, whatever. I understand.
I don't know if any assistant coaches are on two-year deals. If so, you got to pay them out.
Then you got to hire the new guy.
You got to hire the new guy, and you got to pay him more than you're paying Andy. So then you're up and in there,
guess.
Too. And
because if this is the plan, is to, well, we're gonna go the Rick Ray model. Let me go ahead and allow everyone to know this: that fails. Someone made the Georgia football. I've actually heard it a number of times. You know, Mark Richt was real steady at Georgia. Let's keep Georgia football real for a minute. He was Mark Richt was steady at Georgia. They won 8-9 games every year. They didn't win the big one, and fans were getting frustrated. Wanted to win championships, because everybody wants to win championships. I get it. I understand that. Georgia didn't just go, hey, let's make a change for change's sake. Georgia knew precisely who it was going to get. Knew that if it didn't go get him now, they probably weren't ever going to get him. And they also, once they got him, fully invested, and I do mean fully invested, in his program. Read into that whatever the hell you want to read into it. That's what they did. They're now recruiting at an elite national level that is not based on Kirby Smart's work ethic and personality. And Kirby Smart has a great work ethic, and I'm sure he's one hell of a recruiter, but it takes more than that. So when I hear change for change's sake, I say that's flawed. That's emotional. That is a irrational decision. You have a person in mind. You're going to go make a splash. You're going to change the way your program's perceived nationally. You're going to change the way that kids perceive your program. Okay. I'm listening.
Yeah, or you're completely retooling the basketball program.
But if it's just, we're going to change the face because we need to change the face. We're going to change the face because we want somebody who's going to kiss some booster ass that this guy doesn't kiss. Okay, it's not going to work. That in and of itself is not going to change the blueprint of your program, except negatively. Because from an X and O standpoint, quite frankly, from a what you maximize out of what you get, you've got one of the better ones. People say his program doesn't have an identity. I beg to differ. His program has a very distinct identity. He gets kind of high-level transfers. Marshall Henderson took him to two tournaments. No, one tournament. Stephen Moody took him to a tournament. DeAndre Burnett last night, a transfer from Miami. DeAndre Burnett was terrific last night. 7 of 11 from the floor, 4 of 5 from 3, 6 of 7 from the line, 24 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, just one turnover in 32 minutes. He was the best player on the floor last night. He's a transfer. Terrence Davis is back to being fairly effective. 5 of 10 from the floor, 1 of 3 from the three-point line, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. He had 15 points, 9 boards. He did have 4 turnovers, but that's just part of his game. I mean, they went through two things killed him this season early. One, the two bigs, Olenichuk and Stevens, were simply overwhelmed early in the season. They had no post-production on either end early in the season. How much of that was due to Raheem Lockhart not being around the program? He was the guy that was brought in to coach Biggs. I don't have any idea. I'm not making an excuse. They didn't get that done. And then Terrence Davis had a major confidence thing happen to him where he completely lost his confidence. How much of that is due to anything? I don't know. Stuff happens in a basketball season. And it has their margin between winning and losing in at least 4 games that I can think of has been razor thin. You change 3 of those 4 games and we're having a completely different conversation today, but that's not how it works. They are what they are. They go to Texas on Saturday. They have, I think it's at Tennessee and then Missouri at home next week. I think that's right.
I think Auburn's in there somewhere.
Oh, too. You're right. Auburn is next Tuesday. Then they go to Tennessee, and then they get Missouri at home.
That's right.
They're getting, it's just one top 50 RPI after another. Now, they've got to string together wins for this to matter. And I wrote that in paragraph 1 of my column yesterday. They've got to win on the road, and they have to string wins together.
Ken Pom giving them a 26% chance in Austin on Saturday.
More than I would think.
They're projecting a 72-64 loss.
They're going to have to make threes because Bamba is so good at the rim. They're going to really have to shoot the ball well.
Two numbers that stick out. I've got Ken Pom up. Ole Miss moved up to 78 last night.
Okay. Realistically, to get serious, you've got to get
50.
Better than 50.
Yeah. They are number 2 in the conference in turnover percentage, keeping them in games by protecting the basketball.
Which is a hallmark of his team.
Pretty big. It's
good. They don't turn it over.
And then the biggest negative when I look at this sticking out, other than offensive rebounding, which I knew that was bad. Allowing other teams to get offensive rebounds are really bad. They're 13th in the league.
Yeah, because Bama had 16 offensive boards last night. Ole Miss had 10.
But just overall defensive efficiency, they're 11th in the league.
Which is an improvement because I think they were 13th a couple weeks ago.
Were they?
Yeah.
Okay. Those are the numbers that stick out when I look at the advanced metrics.
They're not long.
Yeah, no, so it's killing them on the glass.
Yeah, they're not.
Frankly, their effort rebounding's not bad because total rebounds are okay. They're just giving up too many second chances.
Yeah, they had 25 defensive boards last night. Alabama had 20.
Yeah.
Alabama shot 40.3% from the floor, 28.6 from three. They were 10 of 14 on the at the free throw line. Ole Miss 18 of 24 at the free throw line. Someone said, well, you know, they got some home court calls. Yep, so did Arkansas. Home court teams get calls. That's how that works. I mean, that's just kind of a hallmark of basketball, especially at the college level. Home teams get calls.
What's your guess? They beat Texas?
I have this funky feeling that they've got a big win in them somewhere soon, because this feels like that story that's going to be
an at Tennessee or an at Texas or something.
Something like that. I'd be surprised if it's Texas because of Bamba. He's really good, potentially the top pick in the draft. Good. I mean, he's 6'11". He's got a 7'9 wingspan. He's got real presence defensively at the rim. And his offensive game is really good, too. I don't know who Ole Miss guards him with. It's not a matchup for Bruce Stevens. Now, on the other side, I'm sure what Ole Miss would love to do is to see if they can pull him away from the rim with Stevens and that kind of thing. It's slash to the rim with Davis and that kind of thing. It's going to be hard.
They need him with two early fouls bad.
Yeah, they need him to get the flu.
Yeah.
A really bad case of the flu. Not worth it. You know what I mean? I don't wish ill will on anyone. It is what it is. I mean, it's going to be hard to win that game. It's going to be hard to go win that game Saturday. Then they get Auburn on Tuesday night. Here was the other interesting thing last night. That was a bigger crowd than I thought. You and I talked about this. I was curious, what's the interest level?
Students were back.
Students were back, and they were rowdy. But there were a lot of people there. It was a bigger crowd than I thought it would be. It was a really nice atmosphere.
Yeah.
Kudos to the Ole Miss fan base for that. I mean, it was a Tuesday night. It was 7:30. Students were lubricated.
Yeah.
And they'll be more lubricated on next Tuesday because it's an 8 o'clock game against Auburn. But it's I don't know. I know I will get attacked as I'm defending Kennedy. It's not my job to defend or attack Andy or any other coach. I'm just not a big fan of change for change's sake. I think it's a surefire way to backfire your program. And then you'll hear from Chris in a little bit. And when you do, and look, Chris knows Andy. They've known each other a long time. But Chris sees the league. He's the voice of Alabama basketball and has been for several years now. He sees everybody. He sees all the environments, all the coaches, all the kids, home and away. Been to every place you can go in this league. And he'll tell you, they're thinking about getting rid of Andy Kennedy? His words last night, he might be the best coach in the league. Pure coach in the league. I don't know well enough to say that. I'm not going to lie to you and sit here and tell you that I sit around and watch SEC basketball night in and night out. I don't. I probably should watch more than I do, and I watch more than most of you all do, but I probably don't watch as much as I should. Chris watches a lot of it because he has to. He has to talk about it. He has to call games. He has to be familiar with these teams.
Yeah, I don't
know. And he's not alone when you talk to people who kind of know the game. It's like, is this really a conversation?
Relative to how Ole Miss supports the program.
Right. And people go, well, you know, those people just want Ole Miss to be little Ole Miss. Those people don't really. Chris Stewart doesn't really care what Ole Miss does. He doesn't really give a damn. It doesn't impact him in any shape, form, or fashion what Ole Miss does. I mean, let's keep that real. Chris doesn't care. But he understands the league, and he understands how people invest, and he knows where Ole Miss ranks on that. And he's like, yeah, pretty good. Ole Miss just beat Alabama for the 7th straight time at home. 7. Ole Miss is, what, 8-2 in its last 10 against Auburn?
No, better than that. 9-1.
9-1 in their last 10 against Auburn. They're 8-2 in their last 10 against State?
Ish.
Yeah, don't hold me to this. I don't have these in front of me.
Yeah, something like that.
They're at least 500 or so in their last 10 against Arkansas.
Because they've done really well in Bud Walton.
Yeah. They beat LSU more often than they lose to them.
Yeah, they haven't had a lot of luck against A&M.
I don't think. I'm just sitting here going, again, if you got a specific plan, I'm all ears. You know, what are you going to do? You're gonna go hire Jason Kidd, do the NBA thing, go splash? You're going to hire Penny Hardaway and go, we're just totally invested in the AAU programs and bring on the NCAA. We figured out how to handle this. Okay.
Have at it.
That's at least interesting. But we're going to go hire some hot assistant somewhere, or we're going to go hire some mid-major coach who's had some success at Radford or Winthrop or something, and we're going to bring them in and say, go for it. I'm going to tell you, that deal is a recipe for absolute, abject disaster. Know that going in. I want to be on record as saying it in the event that that's what happens, and 4 years from now you're 3-15 in the league. Because what I hear about, and I think this is what's harmed Kennedy a little bit. This year has to be the most frustrating. I get Ole Miss fans being frustrated this year because this league's going to get 8 teams in. And right now you're not one of the 8. And it's because of what happened in the non-league. But most years, Ole Miss is on the bubble and doesn't get in because the league's not good enough to present enough opportunities. Now, I'll finish my rant. It's not even a rant, my little lecture with this. If, Chase, what's the next 5? Let's say it's Texas, Auburn, Tennessee, Missouri.
I'm pulling it up.
I had it last night. Had it in front of me.
Auburn, going to February then. Tennessee, Missouri, and at LSU.
Say for kicks and giggles, they go 4-1. And I don't think they will. I don't think they're good enough to go on that kind of a run. But if they did, that's why I said the whole discussion, writing the obituary on this team is so premature. They're 2 good weeks away from being in a completely different conversation.
Yeah. Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting and understand your market. Also a leader in condo financing, so that's about the float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate, 662-234-2704, or JLOWE, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
The podcast is also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than 4 decades, and no one knows the residential and condo market better than he does. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab, filter through by what you're looking for, then send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance, but did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing. Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. If you own a rental property, State Farm has incredibly competitive rates there as well. In other words, if you have insurance needs in Tennessee or Mississippi, you need to give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to win your business. You won't be sorry. Go check out the reviews on Google and then give Romero Miller and Romero Miller State Farm a call, 662-893-1212. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application with rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today.
So, up at RebelGrove.com today, we've got video of Avery Johnson, Andy Kennedy, Neil's column from last night, speaking to some of the topics that we have spoke about today. Also, baseball story up this morning. I went and talked to Connor Green yesterday, junior right-hander from Memphis. Had a little wrinkle. He's dropped down. He is a submarine arm slot now for Ole Miss. It was really, really successful in the fall. When Mike has his exit meetings from the fall, he kind of asks all the hitters, you know, who was the toughest pitcher, kind of give me some idea on the whole team. Connor got a lot of votes there. It appears to be working. He throws a two-seam fastball, a slider, and a changeup out of that arm slot. He really worked on it in the Cape over the summer, and it didn't go perfect immediately, but as he's kind of fine-tuned it, it's been pretty good, and it's huge for Ole Miss because Ole Miss has only got 2 left-handers that are probably going to compete in the rotation or any type of role. That's Ryan Rollison, obviously, on Fridays. And then Jordan Fowler, the freshman that I wrote about a couple weeks ago. And because of that, they have a lot of the same guy. Ole Miss's rotation and their bullpen is a lot of hard-throwing right-handers that throw the hard slider, and it's kind of the same look over and over and over again. So if you get a guy that can drop down, command the baseball, and throw from that arm slot, it does give Mike a little more flexibility out of that bullpen.
Yeah, it's always good to have a different look to throw at people. And the Cubs went out and signed Steve Cishek for that reason alone, just really? To have a different look out of the pen.
Yeah, I mean, Connor, a guy that didn't walk anybody at high school, but it was a lot of crude strikes, a lot of just middle of plate, just I'm better than you in high school, so I'm going to throw it by you. It's not
stuff
really
that
matter.
Won't work against really good college
no,
hitters.
No, it doesn't really work. I think he lost some confidence. I think he tried to nibble. Suddenly, he's walking too many guys. He's thrown 50 innings over the first 2 years, but he's walked, I don't know, 20-something hitters, I think 27, 29, something like that. So that's got to get way down. He appears to be having more command, and whatever, you know, I was talking to him about it yesterday. I talked to Carl Lafferty a little bit too. Everybody goes, well, it's this arm slot, and what do you do differently? Well, you don't really do a whole lot differently because the angles are still kind of the same. You're changing your posture so much that you're still kind of keeping the same angles from an arm, shoulder, neck, head standpoint. It's just everything is tilted over to the side when you're throwing. So really it's more mechanical to keep everything exactly like you're doing it. You don't slow arm slots down or anything like that. And the only thing that's a little complicated probably is the changeup, because you kind of have to stay under the baseball down there because, again, your posture's changed. So over the top is now down under from how you're kind of level down there. And you have a tendency to pronate that changeup. So getting that thing down and not rising on you a little bit is probably the hard thing. But otherwise, somebody that is comfortable with that, they're probably incredibly comfortable with that. It's a little easier.
And they have to be because there's oftentimes no one on the staff really that can help you with it.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's going to be an expert on submarine pitching.
Right. You're.
They'd have to call in Brad Klontz or somebody.
Yeah,
but
you're at your own mercy. Who's the guy from Mississippi that ended up, Chad Bradford?
Yeah.
He ended up having a hell of a career. He would almost, you ever watch him in slow motion?
Yeah.
He almost would like hit, grab dirt as he threw the ball. He was down low. I cannot imagine. Now, that being said, when you're a hitter and you're used to seeing overhead to, you know, three quarters, and all of a sudden you're seeing.
And Connor was already kind of three quarters, so, I mean, it's still a huge drop, but it's not as much as a guy that's so 12-6 over the top would necessarily
be. You're seeing the guy throw from 5 o'clock.
Yeah, it's tough. It's about 4:30 is the.
That's tough.
Well, I mean, for the right-hander that's not used to it.
Well, and he's never going more than one turn through the order.
Yeah, no, you're
so
not.
So you're not going to get a second look at it that day. That's your one look. Your one plate appearance.
Yeah. It's a good idea. Why not? See what happens.
Sure. Well, on a team that's got the pitching staff to pull it off.
Yeah,
it's a nice
credit to him too, because he goes, "Hey, look, I got to find a way to pitch here, so this is a way. Let's try it."
And yeah,
he called Mike, he called Carl, and they said, "Hey, what the hell? Give it a shot and see what happens."
Because I'm just going to throw it by you doesn't work at this level.
No, it doesn't.
It works.
You better throw a lot harder at 92.
Yeah, you can do that against Water Valley. it's not going to work against LSU.
Yeah, I mean, Wolf Oak has a hard time doing that at 97.
Can't do it.
And
these are good hitters. They learn how to. It's the part of it's hitting is hard.
Yeah.
Unless you're throwing it straight like a pitching machine.
Yeah.
Those guys learn to hit that.
Yeah, I don't know that you can throw it hard enough to throw it by these guys if it's dead straight.
Some of them you can, but not the good ones.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked to him and he's reinvented his career, and I've never been happy for somebody. You know, Cody Satterwhite struggled with that back in the day. I mean, he threw 99, but it was so flat.
He threw the hell out of it, but it was a machine, yeah. Here comes fastball.
99 at you, comes back at about 112.
And he couldn't throw anything else for a strike, and so guys got the scouting report that said, hey, if it's not the fastball, let it go.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, it's a 2-0 count, 3-1 count. What do you think's coming? I'm guessing number one. I mean, so you get dialed up for it, and the rest is you're swinging a piece of metal at it. The rest is kind of predictable.
So that's on the site. You can read about that this morning. Tomorrow I'm going to write about Jacob Adams, a junior college infielder that's got a chance to play second base, shortstop, third base. They just got to see him a little bit. He was injured throughout the fall. He got hurt on the first day of practice. He was coming in to catch a ground ball and tore ligaments in the middle of his foot. So he's been cooped up for a while, finally back healthy, 100%. Was a walk machine in junior college, really, really good at bats, good plate appearances. So see how that translates as it gets going. But I'll give you a little more on him tomorrow on the site at rebelgrove.com. Russell's got plenty of recruiting. So we got one response on Twitter. I kind of laughed at this yesterday, Neil. Guy that's one of my favorite Twitter followers, always giving us information during games and things, says, Chase, my pops is so idiotic in his routine that he has to eat out at the same place on the same day and time, and if anyone is sitting at his table, he leaves, goes home, and sucks about it to the next week. That's our winner from yesterday's conversation.
Oh my god,
you probably could like call the restaurant ahead of time so that you come in every single week and go, so can we put a reserve thing down, like what can we do here to kind of mediate this? I'm gonna ask him what the restaurant is now. I'm
dying to know, like, what kind of restaurant, what is the order, is he a big tipper?
Yeah. That was my best one because, look, I'm not talking about the people that, like, plan out their grocery list and set it up every day. That's just smart. That's going to save money. We're talking about the fanaticism of having to eat the same thing every day, over and over and over again. So, anyway, I laughed. That was good. He also says, and we're discussing, hold on, let me ask him what the order is and everything while I'm doing that. He also asked if we think an overlooked 80s baseball movie is Stealing Home. I don't know that I necessarily classify that as a baseball movie, even though it has baseball in it. It's a romantic drama, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a sad movie.
It is a very sad movie.
God, the kid, dad dies. And
is that Mark Harmon and Jodie Foster?
Yeah.
He goes and like spreads the ashes there at the end. Sorry, guys, it came out in 1989 or something.
Yeah, spoiler. Yeah. He gets upset that his mom starts dating.
That's right. Yeah. I don't know if it's a baseball movie or not. It's a lot like our arguments over Die Hard being a Christmas movie. Just because it has something in it, I don't know necessarily that I include it. What?
Yeah, it's not really a baseball movie. They use baseball as a vehicle.
Yeah, the movie has to be different because of whatever that activity is. He could have been anything, and it would still been okay for the movie.
Yeah, you could have built that around.
I mean, he seriously race, could have
race
been a
car driving,
man.
or being a painter or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he and his dad bonded over baseball.
It is kind of a sentimental movie. I think.
It's real sentimental.
I mean, it's a good movie.
He has a thing for his babysitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she was kind of hot.
You're very versed on this movie.
I've seen it.
Okay. 20 years ago?
Yeah, it's
probably. Like caught it on cable in the last 3 or 4 years?
No, not last 3 or 4 years. I'm trying to think. I probably saw it 10 years ago. It was good, depressing, kind of ended in a way that made you feel okay about things.
Kind of stuck with you a little bit because you get a little down off depressing movies and shows.
Oh, depressing movies will resonate with me and just...
Yeah, you really don't handle them very well.
No, I think I have to stay away from them. I think I have to understand who I am, and I'll ask people, like, hey, this... People say, you need to watch this movie. I'm like, is it depressing? Because I need to go in knowing this is going to be depressing, so I'm kind of.
But you're more out to not even do it because you want to be uplifted by movies,
or entertained.
Yeah, right.
Make me laugh. I'm a weird person. I'll freely admit that.
Odd duck, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I'll admit that. I'm willing to admit that out loud. Sure.
All right, I got the restaurant. You want to guess? It is a chain.
Okay, it's a chain.
Yeah. Couldn't get more stereotypical, so go ahead.
Chili's.
No, it would have been my second guess.
Outback Steakhouse.
No, you're not thinking the right genre.
Okay.
I probably should have given you more tips here.
Yeah, just chain is not
Yeah, I'm sorry.
not the greatest hint in the world if we're playing Pictionary or something at home.
My first guess would have been Cracker Barrel.
Oh.
That would have been my first guess. That would have been incorrect, Because the correct answer is Denny's.
Sorry.
You all right?
Yeah.
Well, see, it's that Denny's with the really good ocean view, so if you don't get the right table, no offense, Sam, I love you. We're sorry you set this up where I can't help myself.
I'm sorry, too.
You have to have the garden view at the Denny's, okay?
Is there such a thing? Most views are the parking lot. I mean, there's no view. There's no ambiance at Denny's at all. Why? Your dad's neurotic, God bless him. Take it from someone else who's neurotic. He's neurotic. He needs help. Oh, God. So he walks into Denny's, and if he can't get his table, he's done.
Oh, God.
You need to have an intervention.
Well, until the next week.
I understand. Denny's.
Is it the Grand Slam or the All Star? What is Denny's? Is it the Grand Slam at Denny's?
I don't have to pull it up. I think it is the Denny's Grand Slam.
All Star is Waffle House, right?
I don't know. I'm pulling it up.
All right, you look up Grand Slam.
The All-American Slam.
Waffle House is the all-star breakfast.
At Denny's, you can build your own Grand Slam.
Okay, what do I get?
I'm looking. Oh, gosh. They have the Dulce de Leche Crunch Pancake Breakfast.
Okay, that's not really helping me.
I know. I'm looking. You have to understand that let's see. Build your own Grand Slam. Their website is more complicated than it needs to be.
It really is, isn't it? I'm on this thing. Somebody did not do a good job considering the restaurant in place here.
No, they did a poor job.
I know when I go to Denny's, I go in and I go, you know, I'm craving something today. I can't wait to get that smoky Gouda chicken and broccoli skillet. Just telling you.
This is so bad, too. Their website is atrocious. Just awful. Like, delivery locations near me, Jackson Heights, New York. No, something tells me that by the time it gets here, it will be cold. Their website's, it's an abomination. I have no idea what's on a Grand Slam or how you make your own Grand Slam. And when I click on food, it sends me to begin your order, please select your closest Denny's.
Oh. So you can't just see what a Grand Slam breakfast entails.
All right, so let me try to pick one of these places. All right, here we go. Slams.
All right, a Grand Slam slugger. It's two new fluffy buttermilk pancakes. I'm glad they're new, not used. Two sunny side up eggs, two bacon strips, two sausage links served with hash browns, choice of bread, and coffee and juice. It's a pretty filling breakfast there with the slugger.
It's a big breakfast. But he goes for dinner, right?
I'm seeking clarification of that.
I'm pulling up the dinner entrees. They have the crazy spicy skillet. They have the one you just mentioned, the smoky Gouda chicken and broccoli skillet, the smoky Gouda prime rib and broccoli skillet, the wild Alaska salmon skillet, a sirloin steak, which does not look appetizing at all.
I'm shocked.
The bourbon chicken skillet, chicken strips, probably a safe bet, slow-cooked pot roast.
Said his weekly dinner menus include... TV dinners, corned beef hash, noodles. Sodium is a heaven diet, and as you can tell, doesn't eat out a whole lot. Doesn't get out much, he says. So, got to go to Chris in a minute, but...
Tilapia ranchero, that's rough.
Well, that's pretty bad.
That's rough.
All right, got about 2 minutes before we got to pay some bills and go to Chris. We're going to end the show with Chris, by the way. That will end the show. What is your strategy if you have to eat at a Ryan's or a Golden Corral or something?
Ooh.
What's your strategy?
Honestly, probably just get a burger.
Do the burger?
It's probably just safe.
The burger on the buffet at Ryan's and Golden Corral?
I don't know. I've never. I mean, we're talking decades.
Chicken strips are safe.
Chicken strips, my next thing. I just get some chicken strips or something. I mean, I'm just eating just enough to get through. That's not my thing.
Chocolate fountain.
I'm not really into like
steak and seafood specials.
I'm not really into buffets and stuff where everybody's leaning over the food.
A little germaphobe going there.
A little bit. You probably have a little germaphobe too, don't you? I mean, yeah. A little bit. I mean, that's just not my thing.
Buffets don't bother me as much as they drive my wife crazy. She hardly will eat them at all.
I get it. Kind of with her on this one.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy about it, but I'm one person sneezing on the line from going, that's it, I'm done. I'm not that hungry.
Chicken strips, fries, maybe a mashed potato if it looks okay.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because if you're like a texture person, mashed potatoes
can go wrong
fast.
Okay. That's fair. Maybe more tomorrow on that. Anyway, podcast brought to you part by Tyson Drugs in Holly Springs. Check them out, TysonDrugs.com. Get your sildenafil. For women, we have an option for you as well. You can fill out the form directly there online. Give them a call, 662-252-2321. To check out Tyson Drugs. Have a lot of options for you online to become acclimated with their services and their site. And again, a new location now is they have purchased G&M Pharmacy in Oxford. Local delivery there, and you will get a great service if you choose to use those in the Oxford area as well. So again, in Holly Springs, TysonDrugs.com.
We don't have time to get to it today. I have some bills to pay. I'm going to tell you tomorrow I'm going to go ballistic about the NCAA and this Michigan State thing. I'm going to lose my mind. I'm like, I just read, Jay Tate retweeted it, so I saw it. The NCAA is putting out a letter of inquiry against Michigan State only because, and don't get me wrong, they ought to shut the damn program down. But only because there's public pressure. You talk about a spineless organization. The NCAA, the people that run that place in Indianapolis, is the single most spineless group of human beings on the face of the planet. They weren't offended by the 145 women who walked into that courtroom until you were. And now they're offended. Mark Emmert is, oh my God, what a, we really can't legislate that. They didn't deal with Baylor, backed off Penn State, and now they're doing this. 145 victims, Chase. 145. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates, they ought to go sue Michigan State, have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website at msbnkr.com or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Super Lawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state. So you know you're getting a good one when you get Gambrell & Associates. They also handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford, 662-281-8800. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, that's the place to go. All the new 2018s are out. Even the new 2018 electric Nissan. I can't remember the exact name of it. It looks cool on the site. I saw it yesterday. You should check it out. GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Rebel Nation 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com, updated often. Be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Ole Miss baseball gets started February the 16th. As we mentioned earlier, men's basketball returns Tuesday with nationally ranked Auburn coming to town. That game begins at 8 o'clock at the Pavilion. Tickets available at OleMissTix.com. OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with a personal touch. OUB also offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Also, podcast brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773. MasterCutsLawn.com for a free quote there, whether it's building an outdoor living area, an outdoor kitchen, or just making sure you're ready to go and the temperatures warm up and you need landscaping in your yard taken care of. I've used it for a long time. You should too. Again, sign a new contract, mention the podcast. First cut is free with MasterCut, 662-607-7773. We will be back tomorrow, but now we will go to Chris Stewart with the Alabama Radio Network and talk a little with him as he was in Oxford last night. So stick around for the interview. And come back and see us again on Thursday.
All right, Chris, thanks for joining us. I know you're on your way back to Tuscaloosa after an exciting night in Oxford and then in Tupelo. You've had a busy January. You probably haven't seen the house much with football and basketball when you're covering a program that's playing in the playoff and winning the national title, and you've got basketball in the mix of it. You've seen your fair share of planes, trains, and automobiles, I would take it.
I really have. And it's a wonderful problem to have. It's one that would gladly go ahead and accept the gauntlet of doing it again next year if you told me that was going to happen. But it's a lot, and it can make for a grind. And when you got families like we do, you miss them. But they're also, you know, from a broadcaster standpoint, they're really and truly once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. We've just been fortunate enough at Alabama to have several once-in-a-lifetime opportunities over the course of this last decade under Nick Saban.
Let's talk some hoops. You were obviously in Oxford last night, the voice of Alabama basketball. Alabama loses to Ole Miss 78-66. You've seen a lot of the league now up close and personal. The league, you tell me, you watch a lot more of it than I do. No great team, but no bad team. A lot of just right, really solid teams, very hard to win on the road. Alabama had, I think that was a four-game winning streak, got snapped last night. Just kind of your thoughts on the league as a whole and anything from the game that stuck out.
Well, if you're not – this year, I would agree with everything you just said about the league in general. It basically comes down to this each night. If you're not on, you're going to get beat. If you don't bring it at all in terms of intensity, you're going to get embarrassed. Let's just go ahead and say Vanderbilt's the worst team in the league, okay? But we all know they've got shooters. They've got some size inside. They're building for the future there. And if you're not committed to chasing and defending on the perimeter from the start, they're going to get shots. And if you catch them on the nights that they really shoot it like Vanderbilt, you're in trouble. And that's what happened to Alabama when they lost up there in their second league game of the year. Later that same week, Alabama wasn't ready to play, and they got punched in the mouth and never recovered in a 20-point loss to Georgia in Athens. But this is also the same Alabama team that can – capable of beating the hottest team in the country in Auburn when they played them a few nights ago, right out a week ago now. But it's an incredibly challenging league. There are quite a few teams, and I think Alabama's one of them, Neil, that they sit there and scratch their heads and go, dadgummit, if we had had this team at any point in the last 5-6 years, this type of talent, heck, we probably are in the top two, and it's a cakewalk to be in the top two or three in the league. That's not the case anymore. Everybody's got players. The level of coaching is up dramatically, I think, across the board in the league. And then you've got, you know, one or two places, not many, but one or two places like Ole Miss where they have stayed the course with a guy who's been a really good coach for a long time, and they just remain consistently solid and competitive in the team that nobody has fun scouting or playing.
You know, it's part of the conversation here since the offseason when Kennedy's contract didn't get rolled over. I don't know how much you kept up with it. It was obviously a really big story here. It has created almost a tournament or bust narrative as it pertains to Kennedy. Whether that's accurate or not, no one really knows. When you look at Ole Miss basketball from the outside and you see them once or twice, sometimes three times a year, you've known Andy since before he was the Ole Miss coach. Just your thoughts on the program, the job he does. When you look at that program and where it stacks up with the rest of the league, just kind of what are your prevailing thoughts?
Well, I admit I'm biased where Andy's concerned. I was a big fan of Andy's as a player. I saw him at UAB and really enjoyed watching him play there, but then got to know him when he was really just getting started in coaching. I've known him more than 25 years and have a great level of respect for him. I think he has done an incredibly consistent, very, very good job at a place that, frankly, is one of the toughest in the conference to try and win. There's great commitment made in terms of facilities that now Ole Miss doesn't have to take a back seat to anybody in that regard. But that being said, there's more to it that you have to do than just put up a shiny building. And I think Andy understands that. I think that he's got some things trending the right direction. But the biggest thing, and you and I were talking about this last night, Neil, his teams may not have been everything that everybody wants them to be, Andy included. But the one thing that they never are is bad. The one thing that they never are is an easy team to play. And to maintain that for 12 years is a whole lot tougher to do than most people realize or are willing to give him credit for. I think he's as good a coach as there is in this conference. I think if you had put him in, and this is meant as no disrespect towards John Calipari, because I don't think you could just plug in any coach at a blue blood program, football or basketball, and say, oh, they'll win. But I think Andy Kennedy is one of those guys that had you plugged him in when John Calipari got the job at Kentucky, and he would have had a very similar rate of success there.
I'm sure dealing with Avery Johnson day in and day out is pretty fun. He's obviously a pro. He coached in the NBA for a while. He's great with media and that kind of thing. He's got a really young, talented team. I think if the tournament were seeded today, they'd probably get in. It's probably a little iffy. What's his program look like for this season and moving forward?
Well, the first thing you said is absolutely on the money, Neil. He is an absolute joy to work with. He treats people right. He's the guy that everybody has seen on television for years, whether it was as a player with the Spurs or coaching the Mavericks or the Nets or as an NBA analyst on ESPN. That smiling, congenial person is not just when the camera's on. That's Avery. That's who he is. That being said, he is as intense an individual as you will ever come across. He is ultra competitive, and the guy wants to win, and he understands what it takes to win, and he understands it's not going to happen overnight. I thought he did a great job in years one and two to make Alabama basketball competitive, to make it relevant, and to give fans hope until you could get to this year with this recruiting class and this talent level. Now, unfortunately, things haven't gone according to script. They have played They've had 10 different starting lineups because of injury or the one-game suspension that Colin Sexton had to go through at the start of his tenure with Alabama. It has not been ideal in terms of what he's had to work with. That's part of it. It's the nature of it. You have to play through it. I think it's why he's the perfect guy to manage that, because having had the career and the background that he has, seen it all, done it all, really fits where he's concerned. And he also realizes that a season is a long season, and it's going to have its ebbs and flows, and you have to just be able to ride those, not get too high when things are going well. And when you have a night like last night, you've got to be able to learn from it and then flush it and move on, because you might have Oklahoma coming in next, and that happens to be the case for Alabama. So I think he's perfect for managing what they're dealing now. But in terms of a blueprint going forward and making, you know, look, everybody will naturally talk about Colin Sexton and John Petty, and they did not have good nights last night. And Alabama's going to struggle to win when the two of them combine for what they combined for last night. But when you look at the other young talent that is there, and you evaluate the guys like Herbert Jones, and again, I'm dropping guys in who really didn't play well last night, but I've seen over the course of the year, and I know how good they are. But Herbert Jones, Alex Reese, Galen Smith, Daniel Giddens, who's just a sophomore, Dazon Ingram, who's just a sophomore, Braxton Key, who's just a sophomore, Dante Hall, who has grown from an incredibly raw freshman to a guy who last night, still not 100% after having wrist surgery 2 weeks ago, but can still basically with one hand give you 14 points and 7 boards. Those are all examples of trending as a program the right way, in addition to showing the recruiting ability to bring in 4- and 5-star guys like Petty and Sexton. So, look, people are disappointed, and naturally so, and that's fine. They're disappointed with last night. But when you step back and you look at it from the big picture view, Alabama basketball as a program, I think, is in the best shape that it has been in many, many years.
You got a fun one Saturday with Trey Young, who's just phenomenal as a college player. So much fun to watch. I would think that's probably going to be a pretty hot ticket there, Sexton versus Young, two guys that are almost certainly going early in the lottery.
It's I'm told it's one of the toughest tickets in Tuscaloosa in a long, long time. It's one of now 3 consecutive sellouts for Alabama. To me, you know, people want to compare him with Steph Curry, but Steph Curry was playing at Davidson, and clearly what he did translated to the NBA, but I think there was always skepticism until it happened for Steph in the NBA that he could – you know, that it was really something that night in, night out he could do. Trey Young's doing it at the Division I level, the high major D1 level at a place like Oklahoma. And he reminds me a little bit, even though, you know, the comparison is more natural to Steph Curry, but what he's doing reminds me of the guy you and I had a chance to see when we were kids or college kids anyway in Chris Jackson.
Yep.
You know, just – you know, does it all, and when you know he's on television, you're making sure you watch that night. But as you watch, you realize this Oklahoma team is really, really good. It's not just him. As great as he is, he doesn't get 10 assists tonight if he doesn't have guys who can put the ball in the basket. So an entertaining player, a really good team, and one heck of a challenge for Alabama, but one of those that they're probably thankful to have on the schedule because you get them at home, and if you are able to somehow pull off the win, you've put yourself in a great, great spot in terms of the eyes of the NCAA selection committee.
Chase will get mad at me if I don't ask you while I have you. What do you expect from Alabama baseball this season as they get ready to go?
You know, I think it's going to be fun. I don't know what your win-loss total is going to be. Brad Bohannon's inherited a tough spot with, you know, the guy was only there a year and Greg Goff and moved on. But I think there is an extremely high level of excitement based on Bo's background and the fact that he's been able to recruit nationally and recruit at such a high level, not just at Auburn, but at Kentucky for so long before that. I think his personality is going to be an absolutely perfect fit. Personnel-wise for this year, I think they're going to swing it well enough to compete with most teams. They're really thin on the mound. I think they'll be solid defensively, if not spectacular, although I think they will be really, really good a couple of spots. But I think they'll be a team that, frankly, most conference foes will go in on the weekend and go, okay, this is a series we should win. But, man, we better swing it that night because Alabama's going to score some runs.
Well, man, as always, it's great to visit with you. It's fun to catch up with you last night a little bit. Be careful driving, and I'll see you down the road.
I appreciate it, buddy. Always good to talk to you.
Talk to you soon.